weird. Just stop. And so many times that we think that we can perform something for God and it's going to please him. This is what he's concerned with. Not so much what we do, but what we believe. Because the reality is out of our beliefs, we all act. I mean, I see a lot of marriages in trouble. Invariably, somebody doesn't believe that they're loved, or somebody doesn't believe that they're lovable. Messes everything up. When we believe wrongly about who God is, how much he loves us, and what he wants for us, we're messed up. Lots of people just, I'm convinced, just don't have a healthy and clear understanding of who God is. Their belief in God is not really what God actually is and who he is. So here's what got me on this train of thought, at least for tonight. I was reminded of Jesus encountering people who were physically ill. And many times he would say to them, "Your faith has made you well. Go." Can I just read some of those to you? Matthew 9, 27 through 29. Most of these won't be up on the screen. It says, "As Jesus went out on from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, 'Have mercy on us, Son of David.' When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, 'Do you believe that I am able to do this?'" You hear that? Two blind men come to Jesus. He says, heal us, do you believe that I can do it?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "It shall be done to you according to your faith." He touched their eyes, saying, "It shall be done to you according to your faith," because they believed. Mark 5, 25. "A woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse, after hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak, for she thought, 'If I just touch his garment, I'll get well.' Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my garments?'" Now remember, there's a crowd pressing in all around him. "His disciples said to him," you see the crowd pressing in on you and you say, "Who touched me?" I mean, they're looking at him like, "Are you crazy?" Because there's 100 people touching you. "And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.'" Okay, the two blind men, "Your faith has made you well. Go." This woman who for 12 years had spent all of her money trying to get better touches Jesus, thinking to herself, "If I could just touch him, it's going to be okay." And it is. And when confronted by Jesus, he says, "Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Mark 10, 46. They came to Jericho. He was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, and a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, stand up. He's calling for you." Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and he came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." And immediately he regained his sight and began to follow him on the road. Guy sitting by a gate hears that Jesus is coming. He's blind. "Jesus! Jesus! Shut up, man. We're trying to hear what he's saying. Jesus! What do you want?" "I want to be healed." He's healed. The prostitute that follows Jesus to a dinner party, and an important religious figure, a Pharisee named Simon, at Simon's house. She crashes the party. She cries at Jesus' feet, pouring an expensive vial of perfume on his feet, crying, her tears are dripping on his feet, and she's washing his feet with her hair, because Jesus had been denied the common courtesy of washing dusty, dirty feet before you went to somebody's house, because the Pharisee didn't even do that. It was just common courtesy. But this prostitute did it. He said to her, Luke 7:48, your sins have been forgiven. Those who were reclining at the table with him began to say to themselves, who's this man who forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Last one, Luke 17. 10 lepers come to Jesus and ask to be healed, and he heals them. One comes back to say thank you. Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. 5 instances that just off the top of my head I remembered where Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. I would imagine everybody here wants to live a life that's whole. Am I correct? You want to live a whole, full life. I do. I don't want to live a broken, partial life, to live a part of what God has for me. I don't want that. It's easy to do that, and it's easy to stay broken, because brokenness is painful, and like a dog that's been hurt, my dog was recently hit by a car, and she didn't want anybody to touch her. Why? Because she was what? Have y'all ever been around animals that have been hurt? And just don't touch me, just leave me alone. I'm trying to help you. No, just leave me alone. So many times it's easier to live in brokenness and to live in pain than to allow God to come in and actually begin the healing process. But when we have enough faith that he can do what he says he is, because he is who he says he is, and we go to him, something amazing happens. He makes us whole. It's a process many times, but that begins with, listen to me, it starts with your faith, just like Jesus said. We have to believe God is who he says he is. He rewards those who seek him. Anyone here want a reward from God? I mean, we all do. My goodness, we all want that. So the question is, what do I believe? Where is my faith placed? Is my faith placed somewhere other than God? I have 4 simple questions. Really quite simple. Number 1, do we believe that we can touch God? Do we believe that we can really reach out and take hold of God? Maybe not physically, but do we believe that we can get in touch with God? Do we believe that we can touch the heart of God? What's interesting is you read passages of scripture where Jesus healed people, almost every time it says he was moved with compassion. When he saw the sick person, when he saw somebody in pain, Jesus, like fully God and fully man, was moved with compassion. I want to remind you of something, that you can move the heart of God with compassion to intervene on your circumstances. But it's never going to happen if you don't actually seek him out. The reward is when you believe him and you seek him. I do believe. Are you seeking him and going and saying, I know that if I can just get near him, like, he's going to take care of me. He's going to heal me. Do we believe that? Do I believe that God can heal? Do I believe that I can touch him? I think many times our faith falls short believing, like, God didn't hear that prayer. Listen, there's a few things that keep our prayers from being heard by God. It's pretty important. You might want to listen up. How many of you want to know if your prayers are actually being heard by God? I mean, wouldn't that just be terrible? I've been praying all these years and like, God's not heard my prayer. Wouldn't that be disheartening? That would, like, be terrible. Sadly, I think many people, that is the case, because they don't realize that there's a few things that will keep you, your prayers from being heard by God. Here they are. Number 1, you refusing to repent of sin. That means turn from it. Say, I hate it. I don't want it. God, forgive me. And I don't ever want to do that again. But if you have the attitude of, I'll do what I want.